The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Many of the 5,000 people Jesus fed in the wilderness continued to follow him throughout the countryside. Jesus challenges them to consider the real nature of their quest. The Gospel reading. On the next day, when the people who remained after the feeding of the 5,000 saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. So, children's message time. Did you want to come up or do you want to cool your jets there? Okay. No, that's okay. You're welcome to do that. I don't blame you at all. You can still hear me from there. Okay. So, for those of you who saw my message last week, I had a loaf of bread here, and this happens to be the package that loaf of bread came in. And you notice that today that package is empty. And, you know, I was thinking, I ate some of that bread this week, and I had a sandwich yesterday, and this morning, lo and behold, I was hungry again. The bread in this package, while it filled me up temporarily, I was hungry again very soon. And that is a lesson that Jesus tried to teach the people in this second of our gospel texts from John 6. The bread is digested in our stomachs that we eat and turns into energy for our bodies. And it isn't ever going to stay in our stomachs and keep us full. Jesus knew that, which is why he said, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life." Now that's confusing, I think. And when he speaks of the food that endures for eternal life, we wonder perhaps what he meant. Well, Jesus points to himself at this point, and he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus, you see, is a very different kind of bread than the type that comes in a package like this, the kind that we eat every day. Jesus is the bread of life who fills our hearts when we believe in him. So where do we get this bread? That's the question that we ask today. And the answer is that it is available through times of worship like this. It's available when we go to Sunday school or do other kinds of faith formation learning as Lutherans. And it's also available through our prayer life and connection with God in that way. So, to you and to all of us, Jesus encourages us to look for this bread and to believe that Jesus will fill us with this bread, with his love, which will keep us full forever. And that's the difference between the bread we find in this kind of bag and the bread that we receive from Jesus that wells up to eternal life. So, let's end this children's message with a prayer. Father in heaven, great is your name and greatly to be praised. And we thank you that you provide us something that lasts longer than the bread that we get here on this earth and that we eat on a daily basis. You provide the true bread from heaven that brings eternal life. We give you thanks and are grateful for this gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you crazy for cheese curls, or passionate for popcorn, or nuts for nuts? What you stack on says a lot about who you are. A research foundation in Chicago had 800 volunteers take personality tests and then asked them to name their favorite snacks. The results were astounding. People who share a personality type choose the same snack 95% of the time. Lovers of cheese curls have a high sense of morals and ethics. People with a passion for popcorn are the take-charge type. And folks who prefer nuts are even-tempered, easy to get along with, and highly empathetic. You see, it's interesting. Food preferences reside in the olfactory lobe of our brains, which happen to be the same part of the brain where the personality resides. In other words, you might say, you are what you munch. So last week I asked the question, what are you hungry for? This week I want to suggest to you that too often what we're hungry for isn't good for us. Jesus runs into some what we'll call snack lovers in John 6 in this second of our texts from that chapter. And as the story begins, a large crowd is following him because of the signs that he has done. They follow him then the next day to Capernaum. And Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Remember that it was the miracle where Jesus fed the 5,000 with the 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. That was the sign. And then as the story continues, he withdraws to the mountain because they were about to come and take him by force to make him king. And so that evening, the disciples set out for the town of Capernaum across the lake, and Jesus catches up with them by walking on the water. And so now, as we pick the story up, as I said, the crowd follows him to Capernaum. So what Jesus is saying to these people in our today's parlance, he says, "You have the munchies." So what does that say about the crowd? Well, let's call them enthusiasts. people whose basic desire is to be satisfied and content, to have their needs met. They want more than anything else to maintain their happiness, to avoid missing out on worthwhile experiences, and to keep themselves excited and occupied. These enthusiasts look for Jesus because they ate their fill of the loaves. But Jesus wants to caution them about this personality type. He says, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." See, the loaves that Jesus used to feed the 5,000 are the food that perishes. And he tells the people they shouldn't focus their efforts on those kinds of bread. Instead, they should work for the food that lasts and endures for eternal life. So, in a nutshell, these verses capture the reason that Jesus has such mixed feelings about performing miracles. You see, any loaves that he multiplies are going to be eaten, and then, as I said in the children's message, the people are still going to be hungry the next day. Any water that he turns into wine is going to be consumed, and then the wedding guests will still want more. Any paralytic that he heals is going to become old and then become crippled again. The problem is that miracles make a big impression, but they disappear. They don't last forever. And Jesus doesn't want us to feast on a steady diet of miracles because they don't provide the complete nutrition in themselves. They're like the cheese curls and the popcorn and the potato chips of Christian living. A tasty snack, yes. A tasty snack for someone who already has faith, but not a life-changing meal for a non-believer. And that's what we are about here at First Lutheran Church, finding ways to share the food that leads to eternal life, not just the snacks that last only for a short time. And that's why Jesus turns the attention of this enthusiastic crowd from miraculous munchies, let's call them, to the food that endures for eternal life. Work for this food, says Jesus, the food which the Son of Man will give you. Then the hungry people ask, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." This is the work of God, that you believe in Jesus whom God has sent. Believe in Jesus, the bread of God, the bread of life, the living bread, the body of Christ. That's good eating. Problem is that some of Jesus' teaching can be difficult to swallow. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. He would be so much easier to digest if he said, "Love your friends. Do good to those who bless you and compliment you. Pray for those who help you." If Jesus said those kind of things, he would be feeding us spiritual, candy bars and donuts and French fries, food that isn't bad in moderation, but can hurt us if we overeat it. And Jesus certainly doesn't let us snack on the morsels of sin that are always sitting in front of us. He won't say, "Well, I'll taste a little vengeance just this once," or, "I'll have a helping of unfaithfulness, but just a spoonful and no more." Jesus tells us to put the spoon down and walk away. You see, in a Christian life, some of this stuff we want to feast on is just bad for us, and Jesus knows it. Jesus wants us to feed on the good stuff, the stuff that endures for eternal life. So how do we become better eaters as we sit here in the pews or as we go out and find ways to be of service and help to those in need? How do we do that? The people of the crowd say to Jesus, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you?" They fail to see that Jesus has already given them a sign of his power and glory by multiplying those loaves and those fishes. Instead, they review the history of the people of Israel, of God's work in their lives. They say, "Well, our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." See, Jesus has a hard time believing that they're missing the good food that's standing right in front of them. He says, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus wants them and he wants us to know that he is the bread of God, part of a perfectly balanced spiritual diet that gives new and everlasting life. Yes, the law was given through Moses, just like the manna that was given to the people of Israel in the wilderness. But now something new is happening. Grace and truth are coming through Jesus Christ, the bread of God. And slowly the lights begin to come on for the people. They're starting to get it. So they say, "Sir, give us this bread always." I don't know about you, but it's challenging to improve my eating habits, to turn away from the junk food and turn toward the food that endures and that feeds me more healthily. I think that's a word. It's hard to turn away from spiritual junk food and turn toward the food that endures for eternal life. But here Jesus invites us to refocus our attention and see him as the true bread from heaven, the one who comes down to give life to the world. And he also invites us to believe in him and trust him to fill us with his grace and truth. Seeing is believing. These are the actions that enable us to connect with Jesus in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper that we will share shortly here in the nave, when we come to the table and eat the meal that he has prepared. We see the bread that is broken for us, an outward and visible sign of Jesus' grace. We believe that Jesus is present with us in that meal, offering his grace and truth, his forgiveness, and his strength. This is the good stuff, my friends, the food that endures for eternal life. So, if we've been given a warning about bad food today, then let me close with some words of encouragement about good food as well. "I am the bread of life," Jesus says to the crowd, and to each of us, he says, "Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." What's the value of this good food that we are invited to eat? Well, that's the subject of next week's message. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as you are able, and we will sing our hymn of the day.